Sorry.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Ethan Tom
Castle. Can you wait till counsel gets up to the table?
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't see there. Thank you.
So I'll let you know when they're all set.
Yeah, the previous attorneys are leaving at this moment.
Okay. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Eitan Kasteljanovic, and I'm representing Patrick Darden in this appeal. Darden is alleging disability since August 17, 2017, which is the day after a prior ALJ decision on a prior claim. And he's got a lot of different impairments. The main issue, and I should mention, his date last insured here is December 31st, 2019. So that's a critical date by which he must prove disability. The main issue in this case is that the ALJ, we disagree with the ALJ's residual functional capacity assessment. He didn't account for all the limitations described by Dr. Weiss and by Dr. Greeny and by Darden himself and by the lay witnesses. But even his residual functional capacity assessment, which was not, didn't have all the limitations in it, still resulted in no jobs. Now, the ALJ relied on three jobs that were semi-skilled jobs, but it's well established that, and the government conceded this, that semi-skilled jobs cannot be other work that a person can do unless there is proof that there's some sort of transferable skills.
Counsel, so the trouble I have here is the district court actually has ordered a remand, right? And what you're really appealing, is my understanding, is the district court's exercise of discretion to remand for further proceedings rather than to remand for an award of benefits, correct?
That is correct.
And that is a decision that we review for abuse of discretion, correct?
That part of the decision, that is correct.
Okay. So, and the district court relied on what they considered to be a conflict in the evidence, correct? And said, because there's a conflict in the evidence, I'm going to remand instead of award benefits. That's how I read the district court decision. Why was that an abuse of discretion?
Because there's no conflict on the evidence involving, that's the key issue here. It's completely a legal issue based on Social Security rulings that say that accepting...
The district court identified a conflict between the medical opinion that you're relying on and the medical opinion that the district court perceived as inconsistent. There is a conflict. So can you focus on that? Why do you contend there was no conflict between those opinions? The district court abused its discretion in finding one. What is your argument?
For purposes of this appeal, even if we accept the ALJ's finding, even if we accept that he was correct in his analysis of the way he weighted out the evidence, so that right there, my concession there, eliminates the conflict.
Okay.
And accepting that his residual functional capacity assessment was correct, he then proceeded to step five and came up with no legally valid jobs. That's a legal error by the ALJ.
A legal error normally requires us to remand so that the ALJ can apply the correct law. The award of benefits is not a cure for a legal error. It's a cure for a record that admits of only one conclusion, which is disability. So I'm not sure why it helps you to say that there's a legal error in picking out jobs.
Because, okay, let me try to clarify that. The accepting that at step five, the ALJ had the burden to come up with jobs. and he came up with no jobs. The only jobs, he came up with three jobs that were semi-skilled jobs.
So what are we supposed to do, counsel? I mean, we can't go back to the Dictionary of Occupations and whatever and say, oh, well, we find five more jobs that this person could do. That's not our job, but it doesn't mean that they don't exist. I guess I have difficulty making that leap.
So I guess the problem I have is that if the ALJ has this burden, he does not satisfy the burden. And if you don't satisfy the burden at step five, if the ALJ doesn't satisfy the burden at step five, there is only one possible outcome at that point, and that is a finding of disability.
Do you have any authority that says if the ALJ makes a legal error at that step, they don't get a remand to fix it?
I think that this wasn't just a legal error, because it was, he took evidence, he took testimony, he asked questions. They came up with one job that was an unskilled job, but the ALJ didn't accept the job. So his finding was that there are no unskilled, he did not find that there were any unskilled jobs that Darden could perform. So if he hasn't come up with any unskilled jobs, then we look at, well, what did he come up with? He came up with semi-skilled jobs, but it's well established under Social Security regulations that unskilled jobs aren't sufficient unless there's evidence of transferable skills. Now, what complicates this in a good way, for at least for us, is that at the time of the hearing, past relevant work went back 15 years. You had to look back 15 years. And so at least arguably there might be some transferable skills out there that there aren't, from a truck driver to data entry. It doesn't make sense. But, and I know that, but that's not in the record. But in any event, at the time of the hearing, that was a valid, at least a question. He should have asked those questions. He didn't ask those questions. But if this court and if the district court, well, I'd say the district court remanded this case for a new hearing, at the new hearing, the government concedes they'll have to use the new definition of past relevant work, which only looks back 5 years. And there's a 5-year block of time up through 2018, five solid years in which he had no work.
Counsel, do you read that as meaning that transferable skills that may exist but are more than 5 years old can never be considered? For example, suppose somebody was a mathematician and they haven't worked for 5 years, but they could still do, presumably still do math on year six. Are you saying that the regulation means that an ALJ can't even consider things that are 5 years, more than 5 years old, or just that that's a presumption or a starting point?
No, that he cannot consider them. Now, in the example that you gave, Judge Graber, it's possible, for example, if they were using the medical vocational guidelines, there are guidelines that say that if the person has skills that would allow them that directly transfer into a job, that's a different medical vocational guideline. I think it has training or education, but we don't have that here. The 5 years is 5 years does not talk about transferable skills. It talks about past relevant work. So there would be no past relevant work if a person has not worked for 5 years prior to their date last insured. Transferable skills then piggybacks on the past relevant work finding. And you can only have transferable skills if you have past relevant work that gives you those skills. And that's black letter Social Security regulation law. So, and the government didn't concede that point, that there is no, they can't have a step five finding with semi-skilled jobs if there's no past relevant work. And they concede that on remand, they would have to that's the argument. They would have to go, well, there's no past. They could see that there's no past relevant work. There would be none at the new hearing. If there's none at the new hearing, then what is the purpose of the new hearing? So the judge can make a new finding that he didn't bother to take the time. This was his third hearing, second in this claim. This case has been going on for, if you include the prior claim, for a good 10 years. And yet, at the most recent hearing, the judge couldn't be, he tried to come up with unskilled sedentary jobs, but with the totality of Darden's limitations that were accepted by the ALJ, the vocational expert only came up with one, and then the judge didn't even accept that one. So the judge did not meet his burden. And I don't know it's not like if there were any serious doubt here about my client's disability, then I think that the proper course is remand for a new hearing. But there's already a finding that there are no unskilled jobs that he could perform. At least the ALJ came up with none. There's a finding he can't do. There was a finding that he couldn't do his past relevant work. And at a new hearing, the finding would be that he has no past relevant work. So then we're just giving the judge another opportunity to do over, and this time around try to come up with jobs that he didn't bother to come up with the last time or couldn't come up with the last time. And I think that Beneke and Moisa do support that that is not a useful purpose of a remand hearing, to just let the ALJ just do it all over again because he couldn't come up with any valid jobs. Give him another chance. That doesn't serve any valid purpose under the Social Security Act. If you don't have any other questions, I would like to reserve my time for rebuttal. Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors. Elizabeth Fear on behalf of Frank Bisignano, the Commissioner of Social Security. This is an abuse of discretion case, and for this court to find under its case law that the district court abused its discretion by remanding for further proceedings, it would have to find that it acted beyond the pale of reasonable justification under the circumstances and be firmly convinced that that happened here. And we don't have that. My opponent certainly hasn't proven that this district court abused its discretion by remanding for further proceedings. And that's because there is an unanswered question here. The fact that the ALJ relied on semi-skilled jobs at step 5 is a legal error. But that doesn't mean that legal error can't be corrected on remand. And my opponent has been saying that the ALJ found there were no suitable unskilled occupations, but that's not true. The absence of that finding doesn't mean that the ALJ affirmatively said that. The ALJ here relied for whatever reason on the semi-skilled jobs instead of obtaining further vocational expert testimony about either more unskilled occupations than the 17,000 document preparer. And there's evidence in the record that there would be other ones based on the ALJ D'Antonio's earlier decision, or the transferable skills or recent education that would allow skilled or semi-skilled work. And this record does show that Mr. Darden does have some of that education in the past. That's another, we don't know the answer to it at this point, but that shows that this record has a gap, that a very significant gap, that means the court should not apply the rare remedy of remanding for a finding of disability.
If I understand you correctly, you're saying that the record doesn't close out the possibility of there being enough unskilled jobs. It does seem to me the VE was saying it's going to be tough, mm-hmm. and the ALJ says, well, but we could look at semi-skilled, and the ALJ just kind of says, okay, move on to semi-skilled. Right. I suppose there's another way of looking at that the VE was saying, I'm not going to be able to come up with enough unskilled, so move to semi-skilled. I mean, if we read it that way, is your contention then, even if we're limited, there's not enough unskilled, even if we're limited to the 5-year look back period for the semi-skilled, there's still other open questions about whether there would be other legitimate basis for finding enough jobs?
Yes, two open questions, the transferability of skills and the education. But also, if you read that testimony that way, that's kind of making a factual determination that we don't think the record supports. It's true the VE said there's limited, and it's true the ALJ said that, but that doesn't mean that they are the only ones.
I understand. You're not conceding.
Exactly, yes. But so this is just, this is not an abuse of discretion. This claimant is not entitled to benefits on this record, and the district court acted properly by remanding so that the agency could correct the legal error that is in the record. So if you do not have any further questions, we ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Counsel, do you have rebuttal?
Just a little. The issue here for Darden is that he has a lot of limitations, well beyond what the ALJ ever accepted. And he has for a long time. And this includes his need to lie down, his need to change positions. It's well documented that he has to change positions regularly, and that resulted in no jobs. But the ALJ has a duty in holding a hearing to comply with the law and to make factual findings that make sense and that are supported by the evidence. And here, even accepting that the ALJ's residual functional capacity assessment was correct, based on that assessment, he came up with no jobs. And if an ALJ can skirt that responsibility and not comply with it, I mean, the regulations are claimed that at step four, the claimant has to prove that they can't do their past relevant work. He proved that. At step five, the ALJ has to prove there's some other work he can do. The ALJ did not come up with any unskilled jobs that Darden could do. And once again, what makes this different is if they hadn't changed the five-year rule, then there is a gap that the ALJ never asked. Once again, this was his, why he didn't ask, you ask him. But he did not inquire as to whether there were any transferable skills here. Well, there aren't any. And so at the remand, but at the new hearing, there is no past relevant work. Therefore, there's no transferable skills. So we're right back to just looking at sedentary, unskilled work. And the ALJ he had an opportunity to make a finding that there was some sedentary, unskilled jobs that Darden could perform, and he didn't. And so the other thing, and I haven't discussed that here, but it's in my briefing and it's in the excerpts. Part of why I've taken this case up to this court is because, for whatever reason, ALJ Erickson almost never fully approves any of the cases for any of my clients.
Well, he wasn't the only decision maker here, though. I mean,
pardon me?
He wasn't the only decision maker. This case has gone through two different ALJs and I guess two different judicial officers at the district court. And so I'm not sure how the fact that you have not had what you consider sufficient success in front of this particular ALJ gives us reason to throw everything out and take as a given that your client has to prevail. He didn't prevail in front of the other officers either.
With regard to the officers, as you know, the courts look at a substantial evidence review. The first ALJ in this case was ALJ Erickson. And then after that, end of that appeal, it was a new ALJ who turned it down and the court reversed. And then once again, it's ALJ Erickson. And if this case goes back to ALJ Erickson, the statistics show what's going to happen. And
Okay, counsel, we understand your argument about, counsel, you're out of time. We understand your argument about ALJ Erickson. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that justifies remand, because they already agreed there should be a remand. I'm saying that it makes sense if it is remanded, it shouldn't go back before him. That was the argument. Thank you.
This matter is submitted. We are adjourned for the day.
All rise. This court stands adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. Thank you.